But the scripture declares, and I want to read this in this atmosphere of expectation this morning. We're talking about the book of Acts, and we're studying the book of Acts. And today our topic is the miracle power of God, because you and I serve a God of miracles. In 2021, God still performs miracles. So the Bible says this. Now, John and Peter went up together to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a lame man from birth was being carried whom people placed daily at the gate of the temple called Beautiful to ask for alms from those who entered the temple. Now, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. Peter, gazing at him with John, said, "Look at us. Look at us." Now, the man was looking to Peter and John also. But then Peter says, "Look at us. Fix your eyes. Connect with me." And so he paid attention to them, expecting to receive something that day. Then Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but I give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk." He took him by the hand and he raised him immediately to his feet, and his ankles were strengthened. Jumping up, he stood, walked, and entered the temple with them, walking and jumping, praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. They knew that it was he who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. When you look at this scripture, the question must be asked, what are we looking at for our miracle? Or who are we looking at? We must answer the question, do we have an expectation of the supernatural God that you and I serve, that he would do something? We must also understand that he was there for over 40 years, but that day changed. Everything that God does is on his timetable. And do we have the faith to believe? Father, I pray in Jesus' name that today your word would be so powerful to us that, God, any wall that we may have walked in with, any mindset that we may have come in with, whatever has happened prior to worship during the week, God, that we could set it aside and solely focus in on what you have for us today. Because, God, you have something for us. You want to speak to us. You want to move in our lives in some dimension this morning. So we've come and we've charged the atmosphere with praise and worship. We've exalted you. We've lifted you above everything else. So, God, I pray right now that as your word is spoken, that it speaks to the depth of our spirit, man. But, God, that your Holy Spirit would also give us a release from the throne room that brings change and transformation to our lives. We honor you, we love you, we bless you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap this morning? Amen. Well, good morning. Good morning. Thank you for being here today on this beautiful Sunday morning. It's going to be a sunny one, nice fall day. I really hope that you've come with an expectation about what God wants to do today here at church. If you're new with us, thank you for choosing to be here, because there's a lot of other churches that you could have chose to worship with, but you chose to be here today. And thank you so much for worshiping with us. And if you're a middle school student, we have our class going on today, our first day of middle school. So you may be dismissed. And moving forward, once we start to get into the word, middle schoolers, you can just go back. Pastor Rob's back there today with you. And so, but if you're here today for the first time, we'd love to connect with you. We have a little gift for you at the Welcome Center. If you fill out, I'm a new card here. What happens is someone from our pastoral care department will call you, answer any questions about the church, and pray with you. You get one phone call. We won't cold call you for the next 2 years. I promise that. And so, but we appreciate you being here. We're so thankful for you. And church family, thank you for being back with us again this week in this study. So let's talk about the miracle power of God. You know, when the preaching of Jesus takes place, when we talk about Jesus, when we read the word and we proclaim the word verbally, I believe that we have to understand and realize that signs and wonders and miracles follow the preached word of God. And when I say miracles, we have this connotation where we kind of like think of a miracle as something that's huge. Like, you know, someone who's been in a wheelchair walking for the first time. Miracles could just be a broken relationship being brought back together. A son who or daughter who's never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And one day they come to the altar. That's a miracle. So they come in all different sizes and in all different dimensions. And so I want to say that up front. Miracles are signs that are given to us in which Christ confirms the truth and the reality of his power, his divinity, and the message of the gospel. And so when you look at the word signs and wonders, when you look at the word signs, signs are supernatural acts. They're supernatural acts that you and I see or experience that take place to verify the presence of God in our midst. That's what a sign is. It's a supernatural act from the throne room released to the earthly realm that verifies the presence of God's power in our midst. They will build our faith, but they can also give us a warning or heed to what may be happening or what may need to change. See, signs are God signs that are given as true miracles that will draw our attention to Jesus and to the cross. Because everything about church should be drawn to the cross. Coming to church, nothing should be drawn to the pastor. Nothing should be drawn to the worship or to the worship team, to the Son. Everything about the church of Jesus Christ, our attention should be on the cross and on the Jesus that hung on the cross, but on the Jesus that rose from the grave and sits now at the right hand of the Father. Amen? That's where our attention is. And so a sign or a wonder brings our attention to that, or should at least. And wonders are those unusual events that cause people to marvel and to look behind or beyond the supernatural act. See, when a wonder happens, we see it, we're marveled at it, but it should take us to say, what caused that wonderful event or that sign? It's Jesus that did that. See, he was dancing in the inner courts. He's never been in the inner court until that day. We're going to learn more about that. That lame man never went beyond the gate. But all of a sudden, he's now dancing in the gate, and they're marveling at what's going on because they realize that something supernatural happened in his life. And so they go beyond looking at to say, what was it that caused it? And so today's about the miracle power of God. See, today, I want to pray for you because you may not admit this, but each one of us in this room has a need. Come on, somebody, shout amen. Right? We all, if we're honest, we all have at least one. We have at least one need in our lives. And if that need can be met by the power of God and the move of the Holy Spirit, however God wants to do it, or whoever God wants to use to move through it, to have it happen, that's a miracle. And we celebrate. And we thank God for what he's doing and what he did. And so I want to pray for that at the end of service, but I want to say something I said a couple weeks ago, because when we get into the book of Acts, some people get really weirded out about it, because there's some things that take place that people don't understand, so there's a rejection of not understanding what took place and saying, I don't know, so I'm just going to... Let me encourage you not to reject the topic of signs, wonders, and miracles. You can see what's happened from Genesis to Revelation, how God moved and what God did. And they're for today. God's moving power in our life is for today. And so let's not reject it because we may not understand it. Let's ask God to reveal to us what's happening and how we can understand it. Let's get more into the Word. Let's pray more about it. Let's study more about what's happening so we get a better understanding. So it might be easier for us to embrace and accept with what God's doing. Amen? So let's look at this story real quick in the time that we have. So I shared with you the story of the lame man. See, now, Pentecost had happened roughly 3 months prior to this event. Remember, Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit came, and it consumed the room. We had fire, we had wind, we had new languages being released. And then what happened was Peter stands up and preaches one of the best sermons ever preached known to mankind. and 3,000 people accept Jesus and who he was. And now we're fast-forwarding roughly 3 months. And in the time from the upper room to here, they still went to the temple to pray 3 times a day. And in the midst of going to the temple, you know, what happens is, you know, they're going there, and now they're known as a different group of people. See, now they're known as followers of Jesus. Why? Because Peter's got a big mouth, right? Peter's got a big mouth. Peter's not afraid or intimidated by anybody or anything. And he's telling people about Jesus. He stood in front of all the authority after the upper room and preached about Jesus and who he was and what he did. So they're known as followers of Jesus. They're known as people of the way. They're known as the believers. See, it wasn't really until about 15 years later in the book of Acts chapter 11, verse 26, where the word Christian shows up. See, we're known as, I believe in Christ. I believe that he died on the cross and rose from the grave and sits at the right hand of the Father. I have no problem in the front of my godly friends and my friends who don't believe in anything saying, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. I believe that. So now this is where the word Christian comes later on in the terminology as you and I here today. We are Christians. We are Christ followers. And so here they are. They're going to the temple, and they come. And there's a lame man. Now, the lame man has been in this state since birth. The Bible says that it was roughly over 40 years that he was in this condition. And the condition affected his ankles and his feet. He was born with this disability. And so what was crazy about this whole event is knowing that he was there for roughly how many years? Let's just say 20 years he was at the temple gate asking for alms. How many times previous has John and Peter and James and Jesus walked by him when he's like, alms, alms, alms? Think about that. But all of a sudden, this day it was different. This day, something supernatural happened in his life. This was going to be a different day. But when we think about the beggar, we think about the person who was so affected, we have to realize that he never understood or realized or experienced the joy of even standing on his own. He never experienced running or walking or playing or jumping. He didn't experience those things that we sometimes take for granted. Has anyone ever pulled their back out? You ever pull your back out? Right. Now, how many of you know you don't ever think about your back until you pull it? You don't realize how important your lower muscles are, right? Just putting on a simple pair of socks with a bad back, oh, Lord, have mercy. You're like calling Jesus down into your bedroom. Oh, Jesus, come, Holy Spirit, grab a hold of them socks and put them on for me because I can't even touch it, right? And yet, but when we're not in that condition, we take it for granted. We take just getting up and, you know, changing the television channel. Oh, we don't do that anymore. We have a remote control. We take, you know, for granted those simple things, getting the mail, taking the garbage out, running with our children or our grandchildren. And here he's never experienced this. He only knew that each day that his legs would drag and that he would have difficult times feeling. He would have no movement. He knew that each day would be another day of being carried by someone to this particular spot because it's a very popular spot where everybody went into the gate. This was the main entrance into there that someone would carry him and set him so he can ask for help to get through another day or another week, to have food, to have money, to have clothing that was so needed for everyday life. Actually, the scripture tells us that as a Jew, he would be labeled as a recipient of divine punishment for the wrongdoing that he did as a baby in his mother's womb. How ridiculous is that? Come on, people. That's just bizarre to me. But they believed it. Oh, he must have done something in mama's womb. Or if he didn't do something in his mother's womb, then it was the parents' fault. The parents somehow sinned. And now this is retribution for their wrongdoing. Crock-a-bull. This is what they believed. And because of this, he wasn't allowed inside. He was only allowed to sit on the outside of the gate. See, he would never experience the friendships and the relationships on the inside of the temple, where the comfort of the inner courts. It'd be like you coming to church here, and we'd be like, yeah, you have to sit on the second set of doors on the outside on the sidewalk, and we'll leave a door or window open so you can hear what's happening. That's what it would be like. You would never be able to come in and experience friendships and relationships and have a cup of coffee in the cafe after service or meet the Sunday school teacher that's praying for your kids. He couldn't experience that because of his disability. He wasn't allowed inside the temple to even join in prayer. So when we're in here praying and we're worshiping and raising our hands unto God and calling, you know, heaven to collide with earth, he was on the outside. See, their spiritual pride at that time declared that he was blemished. Church, let me tell you something. If someone has ever told you you are blemished in any way, shape, or form, do not accept that. You are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. You are wonderfully created. We can no longer allow people to speak death and label us of who we are, because their label does not tell me the label that God has put on me. Son of God, mighty warrior, more than a conqueror. This is scriptural. I'm above and not below. I'm the head, and this is who I am because of who Christ is in me. You are not a blemish in any way, shape, or form. Reject that negativity. And so here he was. Here he was on the outside looking in. I hate being on the outside looking in, don't you? I just don't like it. I want to be in the middle of it. I want to be in the middle of it. I don't want to be on the outside looking. I want to be in. And so here he was. He never worked. You know, a job that he probably would have been proud of. And a lot of times, men find their identity in what they do. And his identity was, he's just a beggar on the street. That's how they saw him. But see, his whole life changed that day because of God and because God used Peter. Peter, let me preface what we're about to get to the meat of the message here. Peter did not heal the man. Let me say that again. Peter, in his flesh, did not heal the man. If you go to a church and expect the pastor to heal you, and he tells you he can heal you, don't ask for a prayer. Get in your car and run as fast as you can. Because I am just a man from Angola that God called to be a conduit that's willing and open to pray with people, to share the gospel message. I can't physically heal a person. I can't mentally heal a person. But I can teach you the word of God. I can pray for you. I can bind my faith with you. I can stand in the gap when you don't seem to have the ability to have the faith for yourself. But I can say, no, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for this person. And so this is what God did with Peter and John that day. And so when we look at this story, we must realize, you know, what Peter said. Peter's like, he gazed at him and said, look at us. He tells Peter, he tells the layman, give me your attention. I have to tell you, God is telling us that every day. Look at me. Don't look to that. Look at me. I have the answer. I have the solution. I have all that you need. Actually, I have above and beyond all that you need. I am the supernatural God who created everything by my voice and by my breath. My breath is life, and it comes in like a rushing wind. The Holy Spirit is fire, and it brings a purity, and it shows you my presence. And so Peter's like, look at me. I want your attention, he's saying to this man. And I believe God's saying that to us today in 2021. With everything that's going on, God's saying, stop looking to the news. Stop looking to everything else. Look to me, and I will show you. I will lead you. I will direct you into where you got to go, what you got to say, how you got to handle your business. And so here's this lame man. And Peter, how many of you have children? Have you ever had your child, when you're talking to them, keep turning their head, right? Right? See, my kids are adults now, so they don't do that anymore. But my dog does. drives me crazy. I physically have to grab his head. Charlie, stop it. Stop it. Look at me. I said that to him this morning. Look at me. I think that's what God's saying to us. God wants to grab us by the face because at times we're all over looking for what we need in a miracle. And God's saying, stop. Stop. Look at me. I'm the provider of all you need. And so he grabs us. And so Peter's like, stop. Look, attention on me. He says, look at us. And so the man looks at him. And how many people know? You ever been in New York City before? Or a big city, Chicago, L.A.? How many people know that it can be comfortable when you're walking the streets and there's people begging all around you? How many know that, right? What is your first response? If, say, the podium, someone that's asking, this is your first response. Because as you're walking up, if you got kids, you pull them close. And then you're like this. Keep going, kids. Let's go. Because it's uncomfortable maybe for you. It's uncomfortable. Thank God that our God that we serve isn't like that with us. That God doesn't see us in need, be like, he needs another something. Oh, my gosh. No, he stops. He's like, look at me. See, that day to Peter saw that encounter as an opportunity. He saw it not as a time of being bothered or uncomfortable, but as a time of an outpouring of God's presence to make a difference in his life. And so Peter's like, look at me. He briefly establishes a social relationship of connecting with this person by talking back and forth. So he's looking at this person. And what I love about it, when he said, look at me or look at us, he spoke with spiritual authority. Church, believer, Christian in this house, watching online, we as believers have to start speaking with a spiritual authority that has been inputted in you by the Holy Spirit. Okay, he commanded his attention because he spoke with divine spiritual authority. And Peter locked his eyes on the layman. And the layman looked, it says, and gave him his full attention. He looked back, and he looked at him with an expectation. And so now they're looking at each other. And see, I believe that the man was looking for a tangible form of money because that's all he knew. He knew money, food, and clothing, right? He was begging for basic supplies of living. And so he looks at him expecting something, and then Peter's like, silver and gold I don't have. Oh, boy. Did he deflate? Did he was like, whew. He says, but. See, he didn't expect the solution to the much greater need in his life. He expected a solution to a need that comes and goes. You get hungry during the day, so you got to eat. You get cold at night, so you got to put some clothes on. You need shelter, so you got to cover yourself. That comes and goes. But he didn't expect the solution to a much greater need, which was his disability. Being healed and set free. Right? Just maybe we're looking for something or a need of something that we feel is one thing, and God's like, there's something greater that I want to do in you. There's something bigger that I have for you. He was so focused in on the alms that he probably wasn't even thinking about the feet. But I love it. I love what Hebrews says because this is what we have to do as believers in need of a miracle. Hebrews 12, chapter 12, verse 2. This is the Passion Translation. We look away from the natural realm. And we focus our attention and expectation onto Jesus. Let me read that again. We take our eyes and focus off the natural realm. We look away and we focus our attention and our expectation on Jesus. Whew. That's deep. That's powerful, right? That's powerful. I don't read the horoscopes for what I think is going to happen in my life. I read the Psalms. I read the Proverbs. I read the Gospels. I take my eyes off the natural. I stop depending on man for everything. I start depending on my Heavenly Father. I stop looking for acceptance from the natural, from every person that comes in. I stop looking and craving their acceptance. I look to be accepted by the Father. What's our focus on? What's our focus? Are we fixed? Are our eyes fixed on Jesus? I think it was the great George Beverly Shea. Didn't he sing that song, Turn Your Eyes on Jesus, or Turn Your Eyes to Jesus? Fix your eyes. Was it him that sang that song? All right, that's homework. Look up George Beverly Shea. You know that song, Turn Your Eyes to Jesus, right? Yeah, that's what we have to do. Our eyes must be fixed and focused, looking towards the Lord. Peter and John didn't have money that day. But what they did was they gave a release of Jesus and the miracle power that the Father wanted to give to that man. So the first point of the whole message is, what are we focused on in the pursuit of an outpouring of God in our lives? The second thing that jumped off the page was that he looked at them, the scripture says, with an expectation. Expectation is looking with an anticipation, waiting and watching for something to happen. So here he was on the street. He had this anticipation. He was waiting for Peter to put his hand in his Jedi cloak thing that he wore, right? You know, the one piece things, to put his and pull out some shekels and turn them over. He had an anticipation. He was watching for this to happen. He had this attitude and a mindset, I'm going to receive something. That's expectation. I'm going to receive something. That's expectation. I have this mindset that I'm waiting for this move. It's about to come. It's about to come. He was looking forward for something to get better, a condition that he was in to get better. That's what it means when he said he waited with anticipation. And so my question is, what is your expectation when you meet with God? You got up this morning. I don't know where you live, somewhere in the region, but you got up early and you got dressed, got all ready to go. You walked to your car, you got in your car, you drove here. You walked in, hopefully you were greeted by somebody with a smiling face, welcomed you. Worship began. We sang four songs. Not to the worship team, but to the Father. We're in the midst of a word. But the question that I have to ask is, what are you expecting from God today? Because if you just came today just to do out of duty with no expectation of meeting with the Father, we got to rewind this whole thing and start all over. And it's a night game. We have all day. We can do it. We can bring the team back up, sing them four songs again, have a great intro, get to where we're at, but start with, okay, I expect this is what I'm believing to happen. Did you come in today believing that God was gonna divinely give you some revelation knowledge of the scriptures? Did you come in today with an expectation that you got some situations going on at home financially that God's going to give you a way or show you a plan or somehow make a way that seems to be no way to help you overcome that financial struggle? Did you come in today with a broken marriage and struggling there and say, you know what, God's going to do a healing and I'm not going to look at the person next to me because you know what, it takes two to get to this point. And so not only is God going to heal him or her, but God's going to heal me as well. What's the expectation? He had an expectation that day that they were going to do something in his life. I have an expectation every time we gather. I was sharing earlier with my wife when she was here at the first service we were talking. She knows I have an expectation every time we gather that I have an expectation that God will supernaturally open the heavens and that people will be touched divinely by his presence, that there will be salvation, People that do not know Jesus will accept Jesus for the first time and say, be my Lord and Savior, come into my life, I'm going to repent and turn. I have an expectation and belief that when the worship starts, that the glory cloud of God would consume the grounds of this, all 26 acres of this corner, that we would be bathing in his anointing, and that whatever we came in with, struggles, problems, issues, situations, that in the midst of that anointing covering us, he begins to break that off of us. The struggle is no longer a struggle. We're moving forward, not being pulled back. See, I have an expectation that when I pray for you, that God's going to do something in your life. Not because of me, but because of God. I'm just the guy in the middle, standing in the gap. See, I come with an expectation today. I come with an expectation that those who aren't here, we're praying for them. Well, you know, that's a whole other story. I'm only kidding. But when they hear it online or watch it on TV or hear it on the podcast, that the same anointing that's happening right now is going to be rehappening then. That they may be in their living room or in their car, and that God would overcome them, their tears of joy would come down, and as they're crying because they're angry and bitter, that the joy overcomes, and their sorrow becomes joy. See, I have an expectation. What is our expectation? Are we expecting to receive from God? And if we have an expectation, then we have to be open for an impartation. Let me repeat that. If you have an expectation, then be open for the impartation. I'm expecting God to do something, so I'm open to what he wants to do. I'm open for a move. I'm open for a touch. I'm open for something that we've never experienced before. I'm open for the impartation of another upper room experience here in this sanctuary, on this corner. I'm open for that impartation. Impartation means that we're going to share, and we're going to have a revelation and impouring into our being. So I'm open for that impouring of what God wants to pour into me. See, the lame man was expecting something from Peter and John, but he got far more than what he expected that day. See, because I'm a so firm believer that God's power flows in an atmosphere of expectation. God's power flows in such a great dimension in an atmosphere of expectation. You know the saying, expectation is the breeding ground for what? Miracles. Expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. And so he was expecting something, money, alms, and yet he got something far greater than what he was even expecting for. We shouldn't be shocked that when we're expecting one thing, God will do another. Don't be shocked by that. Don't be shocked by that. Here's a secret. God knows more about our lives than we do. He does. And so just maybe what we want and what we desire, God knows we don't need. We desire it. We may not need it. This afternoon, I'm going to desire chicken wings. I don't need them. I have to use examples that we all understand in here, okay? Right? We have wants and desires, but the reality is God knows we may not need them. Just maybe our wants and desires are not God's wants and desires for our lives. I wanted to be an architect. I wanted to be a businessman, make tons of cash. I wanted a lot of things. I told you I wanted the big speedboat and the Hummer to pull it with, and I want all this stuff. God says, that's what you want, son. I got to Oral Roberts University. He's like, now you're on my grounds, now I'm going to tell you what you need. Different ballgame. And so I believe that God knows a little bit more about us than we even know about ourselves. But we have to have an expectation. We have to have an expectation. Peter's like, listen. He says, I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. And he spoke in the name of Jesus. See, Peter was functioning in the authority of Christ. See, in the name of Jesus means that he was given the authority as a representative of the kingdom of God to speak that way. He was a vessel which God was using to release a healing that day. And the Spirit of God moved through him. Peter physically didn't do the healing. He was a conduit in which God used his voice and his hand as he helped him stand up to deliver the healing. It wasn't Peter, it was God. And there seems to be no record. And if you think about this, if you read it over and over, there's no record of a prayer of petition by Peter. See, Peter didn't say that Peter got down and anointed his head and both legs with oil. He didn't get down and have the rest of them circle around him. Not there's anything wrong with this, but here you need to hear what I'm about to say. And he wasn't like, "Oh, Father God, the one in whom I trust and believe, the one whom I saw your son die on the cross, and I saw the empty tomb. I saw my son. Oh, dear Father God, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you, God." He didn't do that. You know what he did? He spoke with divine authority. Because Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll have this authority. The scripture talks about how Jesus sat with his disciples, and he told them that this was going to happen. See, he spoke with an authority and a power and compassion. He spoke with this authority, and because he understood what he had, he released that authority in that atmosphere that day with a person who was expecting something, who was looking at him, locked onto him, and he released a word from the throne room. He said, "In the name of Jesus, arise and walk." Wow. See, that was the divine miracle by the power of God moving through Peter that day. Here's what the scripture says. The scripture says in Luke chapter 9, "Then Jesus called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over the devils," or over all devils, "and to cure the diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." Not them, but to be a conduit that the Father would use to bring a life-changing message or prayer. See, in Matthew chapter 10, it says, "And he called unto his 12, and he gave them the power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manners of sickness and all manners of diseases." See, one more. Let me give you one more. Matthew chapter 10, later on in verse 7 and 8. "Go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out the devils. Freely you have received, freely give." Peter did that. He was with Jesus physically. He was in the upper room, received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He had his marching orders. He had the plan that he was called to do. He had his purpose, and he went and he did just that. "In the name of Jesus, arise." Whew. That's what he did. Now, understand, when we talk about the miracle power of God, you with me today? Everyone here? A little wound up. Realize this, though. God's timing is perfect. God is never late. God is never early. God is always on time. Unlike me, who at times I can be late, and if late to me means I'm not there 15 minutes early. That's just the way I'm wired. But unlike me, I could be late. I could show up way too early. Or I could miss the whole thing completely because I lost track of time. That's not the God that you and I serve. See, he's a God that's never late, never early, always on time. See, our timing isn't God's timing. And for us, God's timing often feels long, desolate. I'm getting some confirmations. People are like, "Oh, go ahead, Pastor, keep saying it." But let me ask you this question. And like I said in the beginning, remember when the disciples went up to the upper room, God said, "Wait for him to come." What are we doing in the wait, in the timing? What are we doing? Are we worshiping in the wait? Are we praying in the wait? Are we getting two or three together and encouraging one another, knowing that we're there? Are we scripturally reading the way? What are we doing in the wait? Because the wait can seem like long and desperate delays. But I promise you, if you right now are in the wait, keep waiting, but do something in the wait. Do something in the wait that draws you closer, because God's timing is perfect. And when we're in the wait and knowing that God's timing is perfect, what happens is it helps us really grow our faith, because we're reading and studying the scriptures and we're focused in on the Lord in the wait. And we're trusting God in the wait. And we're speaking things in the wait of what's going to happen with an expectation, because I'm fixed and focused on Jesus. And so I need to talk about this, because remember, he was there for quite a few years. If he was 40 and the upper room was, 3 months earlier, prior to that, I'm sure they walked by him multiple times. But that day, something changed. And so it was that divine outpouring that changed his life forever. See, understand this. The scripture even says that there's a time, an appointed time for everything. There's a time for every matter under heaven. We have to understand that. There's a time for everything. And if we jump ahead, we may lose out. But if we lag behind, we may lose out. But know that God is a God of perfect timing. Which leads us to the last point this morning that I have to share just a few minutes on. Let's get our faith meters out this morning. Faith is an integral part of being a Christian, isn't it? It is. Faith. Faith in who Jesus is. Faith in what Jesus did. Faith in trust and belief in the scriptures, in the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Spirit. And so when we see the miracle power of God moving, it's important to understand the evidence of faith. The evidence of faith mixed in. And there's three types, I believe, that are important for us to know. The first one is personal faith. The second one is the faith of someone standing in the gap. And the third one is the faith of the person that God's using to declare something. Let me give you examples. You want examples? Because I could just say that and be like, well, what do you mean? Let me give you examples. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9. There's two blind men. And they go, and they're yelling to Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. They can't see him, but they know he's there. They're yelling, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus goes up to him and says, what do you want? We want to see. And then Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. And the Bible says that he touched their eyes and said this, according to your faith, let this be done for you. And immediately, their eyes were open. It was the faith of the person in need that moved the Lord to this healing process that day. He said, because of your faith, you believe what you're asking me to do can be done. And because of that trust and knowledge of who you think I am and know I am, so be it. It's so important that we have a personal faith in Jesus Christ. I can't live my walk with the Lord, my Lord and Savior, off my parents' faith. I have to trust and believe in who Jesus is and what the Word says and how God moves and functions. And so I have to believe that God can release a miracle into my life, that he can open the heavens and pour into me that impartation that is so needed. But I have to be fixed on him. I have to have this expectation that, God, you will and you can. I have to understand that if it's not happening now, it's in his timing, and I'm not going to stop believing until it comes to pass. The second one is the one standing in the gap. I always use this example. This is the grandma and grandpas. Any grandma and grandpas in the house in the service today? Grandma and grandpas? Okay. This is you guys. I'm going to use you as an example today. Why? Because you got grandbabies. Some of them are angels, and some of them, some just, Lord, you got him. Other ones, you're like, in the name of Jesus, Lord, open up grab that child by the back of their neck, shake them like a rag doll until the Holy Spirit fills them and brings a convincing power that you are real and that they need you to get through middle school or high school. You know, your grandmas and grandpas, right? Parents, you all got children? We prayed them prayers, right? We snuck in their rooms at night. They didn't even know we were in their rooms. We're like, oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, give them a dream and vision. Lord, I pray that they have the same desire to serve you that we read about all the people of great faith. God, in the name of Jesus, gift them and talent them. Give them a plan and purpose, God, that they know and they discover. And it's not mommy or daddy's or grandma or grandpa or their friends. You all snuck in the room. I heard a story about, I listened to this one pastor. He was saying one day he was in his room sleeping, and all of a sudden he felt something all over his face. He woke up, and his mom was praying in the spirit over him, dumping anointing oil on his forehead in bed. He's like, whoa. But see, this is the person who stands in the middle. Phil, you can come up. You guys can come up. Start playing. This is the person who stands in the middle. See, the Roman centurion's a great example of this in Matthew chapter 8. See, he's asking for his paralyzed servant to be healed. So he goes to Jesus and asks. And a bunch of stuff happens in the story. And Jesus responds to him, I have not found such great faith, not even in all of Israel. And his servant was made whole. We don't know if the servant believed in Jesus. We don't know if the servant knew Jesus. We don't know anything about the servant other than that he had a need. We do know that the centurion, though, had faith in the healing power of what Jesus could do. So he stood in the gap for his servant, and God honored the faith of the centurion and touched his servant. We have our faith, and we have the standing in the gap people's faith. We all can fall into one of those. And this third one you can fall into as well. And this is the faith that we see with Peter and John. The whole story I've been talking about today. They walked up. He walked up that day and got his attention. And he spoke with divine authority, healing into that man's body. What was it? It was because he was with Jesus. He understood who he was. He understood why he came, why he went to the cross, why he died. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was given that authority. So he knew what could happen. He just knew and he believed that Jesus could heal him. And so he commanded and released a word of divine authority over that disease and sickness in his body, and his faith in who Christ was, that man stood up, and he walked. And then he went in the inside of the court where he should have been even when he had a disability, inside the church, not on the outside. And he went inside, and they recognized the healing of his body, and they were and he was glorifying God for it. And so whatever your need is this morning, whatever your miracle is this morning, let me encourage you to trust and believe in God for it. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Let me ask you this question. How many of us have a need this morning? We all got needs, people. You're in the right place at the right time. We all have a need. We all need a miracle. Whether big or small, if it's a need and it's on your heart for your life, then you need that miracle. Don't let someone tell you that that's too small for God to deal with. He's too busy. God's not too busy to talk to his children. Okay? But you have a need. And I want to pray for those. I want to pray for all the needs in the house in a corporate prayer this morning. But I'm going to ask you to do this. If you want to, in the pew, there's a red card. It's our prayer card. You don't have to put your name on it, but write your needs down. Write your miracle that you need down. And after, on the way out, when we receive our offering, set that prayer card in the offering bowl, because I want to pray for them during the week. I right now have prayer cards on my office downstairs, on my desk, that I pray over. You email me. I get your emails. I pray. I respond to you. I'm standing in the gap with you, believing for a miracle, because we serve a miracle God. Creation is a miracle. The birth of a baby is a miracle. Right? When that baby cries all night long, it's a miracle that the parents still have sanity. It's a miracle. So fill out that card. Drop it on the plate and the offering bowl on the way out. So you receive our offering. Because I'll pray for you during the week. And then when your miracle is met and something happens, let me know. Because we have to give testimony. We have to do what the lame man did. He danced and he ran and he praised. And he honored God for the healing and for the wholeness to his body. We have to do that. We have to do that. And when someone who knows you before and sees what's happening and they say, what is with you? It's like, oh, let me tell you what's with you. I was at church service and pastor talked about how we serve a miracle God and we've been praying for this and all of a sudden look what happened. And you tell them what happened. All right? Can I pray for you? If you got a need, just raise your hand this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, our hands are up all over the sanctuary. Lord, we have come today. We've come to this point after hearing your word with an expectation, an anticipation of something happening. Father, in Jesus' name, whether the need is financial, whether the need is a physical healing, whether the need is dealing with the mind and the mental state of who we are, if the need is relational, if the need is regarding children or grandchildren, if the need is regarding our place of employment, Lord, if the need is regarding anxiety, fear, oppression, depression, Father, if the need is just a bad situation that we find ourselves in, God, whatever the need may be, no matter how big or how small it may sound to somebody, Father, we know that we serve a miracle God. And Father, in Jesus' name, the only name we pray in, the only name we ask things in, just as Peter spoke, arise and be healed. Be made well. We declare with an expectation by faith, arise, need be met. Arise, need be met in Jesus' name. Father, we will wait. And we will wait on whatever timetable you have. But we believe that that need will be met in Jesus' name. And we celebrate and we thank you for what's happening now and what will happen as we move forward throughout the day. We give you all the glory. It's no man, no woman, no thing. Only you, Lord. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Savior who died on the cross. We give you all the glory and the honor and the praise for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap this morning? Amen. 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 Whew, what a great day today. What a great day. God loves you. God loves you. And so we're about to close service, and I just have three quick announcements that I want to share with you this morning. The first one is our t-shirt sale ends today. I love my church t-shirts. They're right there. $12. Kid sizes, adult sizes up to XL. 14 for double X. And we do have some short sleeve ones. These are long sleeve, black or gray. You can see Lisa will be in the back. The second announcement is we have a new small group starting. We're trying to just continually have small groups running. This one's on Thursday mornings. It's on the Holy Spirit. Being that we're in the book of Acts, it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so I encourage you, if you want to be there, be a part of that, to go ahead and go online and register for that so we know how many are coming and what room we need to use or what part of the facility we need to use. And then the last thing is simply this. You know, we do a thing called text in church or email. Y'all know what email is, right? Y'all know what email is. Sometimes people are like, well, I didn't know that was going on. I didn't know that was happening at church. Well, I want to encourage you to sign up and fill out a card. I don't have the connection card with me, but in the pew there's some cards in there. I think the new one. You can put all your information there and just sign up and write, please get me on the email list or the text in church. You get one email a week. And in that email is upcoming things, what may be happening on Sunday. So I encourage you to open our email. You will not get a ton of emails, one a week. It always comes out towards the end of the week about what's happening or what's new going on. And so we just want to stay connected with you. That's all. We want you to know what's going on and what's happening. And so those are my three announcements. And so let's pray for our offering and we'll dismiss this morning. Thank you again for being with us at service. It's been a privilege to be able to share the gospel with you. I look forward to seeing you throughout the week or next Sunday. And then so tomorrow is, I believe, a holiday. So enjoy your day if you're off with your family. And so when your miracle comes, let us know so we can talk about it and we can give God the glory. And so let's receive our offering, and the offering bowls are on the way on your way out. And if you still need other things to pray about, you know, see me after service. I'll be down here to pray with you. So, Father, thank you for this amazing time with our friends and family here at SCC. God, I pray that as we leave and we depart this place, everything spoken, every seed that has been sown into our spirit man would begin to grow roots, Father. And so I ask that your spirit would not only water it, but also guard it, that the seed devourer would not come and steal the seeds that have been planted this day. God, thank you for the opportunity to give and to honor you through our giving and our tithes and offerings. So, Father, bless them, multiply them. And, Father, we thank you that we continue to use them to build the kingdom of God, to grow the kingdom of God and not the church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you guys soon.